Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you look for it, every day has cause for celebration. Celebrate a friend for their promotion, baby wedding, life thing. Celebrate yourself for keeping the couch warm. It's no easy feat, especially if it's a big couch. Or maybe you just want to celebrate living in 2023, where you can get beer, wine, and spirits delivered from Drizzly in under 60 minutes without leaving said couch. So download the Drizzly app or go to drizzly.com. That's DRIZLY.com and get your favorite drinks delivered today.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You're tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. While Darren Beachley has spent most of his musical career playing in bluegrass bands, his personal approach is more of an Americana bluegrass hybrid mix. The Maryland native has been at it for over 30 years. Along the way, playing with bluegrass greats like Bill Harrell and Doyle Lawson in Quicksilver. Bill says his latest project explores the road I didn't take. He joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his musical career and his latest album, The Road Not Taken.
Hi, Darren. Welcome to the podcast this afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Glad to get a chance to catch up with you. I'm sorry we were not able to make a connection at IBMA a couple weeks ago in Raleigh. I understand you were out traveling, and it's hard to plan a week to land there and do everything else too. So I understand,
but it sure is.
It's good
sure
to talk is. To you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me, and it's always a pleasure to get to talk with you. And about the time at Raleigh, it's very difficult to find a whole week anymore to fit in
it
and
is.
Be at Raleigh for a whole week. It's it's funny, as you got a little older, and I've gotten a little older, that finding a whole week to do something sure does seem rather hard anymore.
It does. Yeah, well, we all live in a different world, post-pandemic, and so
surely.
It's kind of getting old referring to that, but it's the truth, and we are everybody's trying to find a new normal, so we'll get there one day.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I haven't found it yet.
Yeah, so well,
we're still in search of it.
Okay, well, when you find it, you let me know, and we'll.
I sure will.
We'll bottle it. How about
that? First guy I call. How about
that? So you've been doing music for a long time, right? You've been at it for a little over 30 years.
Oh, even more than that, probably. I started as a kid, a mere child. I was playing. I'm 55, so I started. Probably 40 years or more. I started playing in bars with my dad at 11
wow.
years old.
Wow.
I know. Probably, I saw a lot of things that most 11-year-olds shouldn't see. Probably.
I understand.
And, you know, but it was good for the music teaching. I'll put it that way. So.
And you grew up in Maryland, right? Eastern Shore, or that far out?
No, actually, I'm in Central Maryland. Actually, I'm right. Funny part about it, I moved away a little bit. Still stayed in Maryland, but. Moved around, and actually I live within probably now 2 miles of where I grew up at.
Wow.
So it's funny how they say you can never go home again. Don't believe that, because you can.
Yeah,
so
I
am actually living in what used to be one of the cornfields that we used to plow as kids.
Wow, man,
yeah.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems like 45 years went by pretty quick, you know, so especially if you have children and stuff. So.
Yeah. Was your dad into bluegrass? Was that the kind of music he played?
He was.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I picked up the mandolin when I was like 4 years old. And, you know, just because, honestly, I don't know if I was that much interested in the music, or I was just interested in the attention that it brought.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I was like, man, I really like this. And then when I was about 9 or 10, my dad, the band he was with, they their bass player actually was Larry Robbins, who had moved on to play with the Johnson Mountain Boys. And in the interim, because Eddie Stubbs and Larry Robbins both played with my dad's band, and in the interim, it's like, okay, we need a bass player. My dad said, well, I'll take Darren, and we'll teach him the material, and he'll have it down in 2 weeks. And cool. There was some wood shedding in a bedroom and lots of teaching really quick.
Yeah.
And so at 10 years old, I started playing on stage with them, 10, 11 years old. And then at 14, moved to the Dobro.
Wow.
And And it just, you know, it just grew from there, the love of the music and really getting involved in it and growing through it. And yeah, so my mom and my dad both were, my mom didn't play. She was a great singer.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a very rich, you know, most female voices usually are pitched rather high. Hers wasn't real high,
mm-hmm.
but she had like a Patsy Cline-ish
thing
to her voice. Mm-hmm. And my dad, I mean, kind of odd for not a lot of women sang baritone parts and things like that in trios, and she did that.
Mm.
And my dad was a tenor singer, so I got it from both sides of the aisle, music-wise.
Yeah.
And my dad, you know, I was a... I think third, fourth, maybe even fifth generation musician as far as that goes.
Okay.
My grandmother Beachley played on radio shows around Maryland. And so, yeah, I guess I was born into it. You know, it's kind of like people say, how did you discover bluegrass? Well, I didn't really discover it. I kind of just grew up with it. So it kind of discovered me, I guess.
So at some point then, after you, I'm assuming, finished school, you ended up with Bill Harrell then. Is that right?
I did. I started working in 1988. I had worked, there was a band here on the Pennsylvania line, South Central Bluegrass, that I went to work with in 1988. That was my first real pro music experience. You know, and you could call it, you know, I mean, they were out traveling, doing festivals and recording. And, you know, Bill Emerson took a great interest in us and for Webco Records, and we started recording for Webco. And you know, I always say this about Bill Emerson. Bill Emerson got me in front of people that I never would have gotten an opportunity to play with if it hadn't been for Bill, you know, Tony Rice just, you know, tons of people. And I'm forever indebted to him for that. But the band, in 91, Bill Harrell needed a Dobro player in 1991, and I went to work for him. And, it was cool. You know, all those records I listened to growing up with Mike Aldridge playing Dobro on them.
That's cool.
I got to play all those parts.
Wow.
It was really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And I had been one of those guys that had followed Mike around and pestered him as a kid, you know, trying to learn Dobro stuff from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always very gracious and always very helpful. And I think one of the greatest compliments I ever had from Mike, I was at the Gettysburg Bluegrass Festival, and he walked up to me and said, "Man, I just heard something on the radio, and it sounded like me. Was it you?" And I thought, wow, what a compliment.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Like,
yeah, it was, but so anybody, it was kind of cool that he had, you know, thought enough of my playing to think that it sounded like him, but he asked if it was me, so it was really cool.
Yeah, wow.
But yeah, I worked with Bill for a little over a year.
Okay.
And, Carl Nelson was in the band at the time, and man, it was really cool to work with Bill, who was such a, he was a great entertainer. And I remember watching him one night, you know, he was talking about stuff, and he's like, "Hey, we're going to encore tonight." And we hadn't even gone on stage.
Hmm.
And I thought, how in the world does he know that?
Hmm.
And he just knew how to work a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
He was great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like this thing when he would go on stage, it's almost like he had him in the palm of his hand from the second song on.
Hmm.
It was crazy to watch it happen.
Yeah.
So glad I got to experience that.
Wow. Yeah. And then you found your way to Doyle. How did that happen? Doyle Austin and Quicksilver.
Well, it's a long road to get there, but I'll take you. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version.
Sure.
Of it.
Yeah.
In 1993, Doyle, John Bowman, was leaving Doyle to go to work with Alison Krauss.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I had wanted that job. In the interim, I had figured out, okay, I know how to sing these high parts now.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working with Bill Harrell, I didn't know I knew how to sing like that. And one day it just happened, and I thought, man, this is cool. I know how to do this. And I worked so hard to learn all Doyle's material. And so they were playing at North Carroll High School over in Hampstead, Maryland, right when John had given notice, and I drove over there with my guitar.
Mm.
And I walked into the door, and of course I'd known Doyle through the years,
mm-hmm.
and I walked through and I said, "Hey Doyle, I know John's leaving. I'd really like to have a shot to audition for the job. And I'll never forget just the way it went down. He's like, son, Sean Lane's moving over from the fiddle. He's taking the guitar job. Job's filled.
And
I was like, oh, man, I feel like I've been backed over by a truck.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, I, you know. So years played on. I kept on playing around the area, you know, just filling in, doing things, working different, you know, music, different things with music and, you know, filling in with this one or that one. And, you know, getting to go out and work a couple of dates with Tony Rice Unit or something like that, whatever it was, Jimmy Goodrow and those guys. And really, you know, brushed my chops up a lot. And then in 2004, I got to meet Jamie Daly while he was with Doyle. And we struck up a friendship and started singing together. And then Jamie was going overseas to Switzerland for this USO Young Ambassadors program. And Doyle asked if I would want to fill in for Jamie. So I did. And he liked what I did. So when Barry Scott gave notice, I got a phone call. And I went to work for Doyle for 4 years. And it was... it was amazing. The first 6 weeks are, I won't lie to you. A lot of people say it's like boot camp. I won't argue that at all. It's you really learn what it's like to be a professional. As far as everything. From the way you dress on and off stage, the way you handle yourself. Doyle's a true pro, man. And, and look, he treated me as good as a father. And, you know, if he called me today and needed something, I'd be in the car on the way to Bristol right now. So that's just the way I feel about it.
You guys make it look easy on stage, but people don't really realize that it takes a lot of work. Bluegrass music is hard to play and to begin with, and then to pull off what bands like you guys do on stage is you don't just walk from the basement to the stage and make it look that way.
Well, I don't think anybody really understands that doesn't do this or hasn't done it at the highest level.
Right.
What goes into getting to the highest level.
Right, yeah.
They don't know the 10-hour-a-day rehearsals.
Yeah.
They don't know getting up in the morning and, you know, still being in your pajamas and your underwear till 3 o'clock in the afternoon because you've went downstairs and picked up your axe and you can't get away from it. You know, they don't understand it. Doyle told me a story one time about Tony Rice because when Tony... Apparently, they were all living there in Lexington at one time. He said it would take Tony 3 hours to eat breakfast because he'd eat a bite and play for 25 minutes.
Oh, man.
Wow. They'd eat another bite. They'd play for another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you when you hear stories about those guys being like that, you realize, hey, you know what? I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah.
And that's how they got where they were.
Yeah.
But, you know, the rehearsals with Doyle, we rehearsed everything. The everything was rehearsed. The show was rehearsed. And that's what you did.
Yeah.
And but that's what you are. Think about it. I mean, it's not just a sometime thing. You know, there's a reason that we sound the way we do. And
of
there was
course.
A reason for everything we did.
Yeah.
You know, and that was what was cool about Doyle. Not only could he tell you why, how to do it, but he could also tell you why we were doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's when you start thinking about sometimes he would say things sometimes and it'd be like, I don't quite get that. And about a year later, you'd say, oh, yeah, now I get it.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. And I always say, if you can stay there 4 years, you get a degree.
Wow.
There's no doubt about it.
That's amazing.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So then you started your own gig, right? Your own band? And
My children were growing up, and I was missing a lot of stuff at home. So my wife and I talked about there was a lot of change going on with Doyle's band at the time. And I said, well, you know, this might be a good spot to get off. And because you never know.
Sure.
And you never know where the spot is to get off. I was very fortunate when I went there. I went there and Terry Balcom was there. Jamie Daly was there. Mike Hartgrove was there. So when you walk into that situation,
right,
you're with three old pros.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was like, okay, this is great. I've learned so much. But then when the newer guys come in, not saying they didn't know as much, it's just different.
Sure.
And it's
chemistry changes.
Not saying that the band wasn't as good. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, this is a good getting off point. So I had been in the daytimes when we weren't rehearsing with Doyle, I'd been getting together with Mike Aldridge and Tom Gray and Mark Delaney and Norman Wright. and just to do something different musically. And I always wanted to be in a band with Mike, you know, because he was one of my heroes. Mm-hmm. And so when time came to leave Doyle, I just called those guys and said, hey, you want to do a band? And Mike was very hesitant at first because he had just been through all the stuff with Chesapeake and mm-hmm. that had broken up. And then the Aldridge Bennett Goodrow thing. He said, man, I don't know, you know, if this would be a good thing for me. I said, look, I don't care if it's 3 days, 3 months, or 3 years. I just want you to be in a band with me for a while. Mm-hmm. Whatever, you can get mm-hmm. out anytime you want out. And he was like, well, how in the hell do I say no to that? And I'm like, you can't. Yeah. That's why I did it that way.
Right, right, yeah.
Wow. And we recorded our first record with Patuxent, and we went to like number 10 on Billboard, and we were number one on the Roots music charts for a while, over top of Dierks Bentley when he had his bluegrass record out, yeah. actually. So it was very successful. It was a very good record. And the band worked a lot, and then Mike's health took a turn for, you know, the worse, mm-hmm. and it just was never the same for me after Mike left, mm-hmm. you know, and Ethan Hughes came in and did a great job playing the dobro, but it was just never the same. And then, you know, the economy started going, you know, it took a little twist to the thing, and then that's when I started saying, you know what, I really need to get a day job. Mm-hmm. And then started playing less full time and started working and playing here and there and this, that, and the other. But it's a couple years ago, I thought, you know, I'm at a point now, I think I can get back at it. This. So I got the dobro out again, which I hadn't played in a while, which has always been my first love in the first place.
Yeah.
Started woodshedding and got to a point to where I was like, man, I can actually play this thing again. So I called Linda Lay in Springfield Exit and jumped in the band with her. And then I started, my youngest son is actually a producer. He produces R&B and things like that. So we built a studio here at the house.
Oh, that's cool.
During the pandemic.
Yeah, why not?
Because he was, why not? I got nothing else to do. Right. Nobody's working. Nobody's doing anything. I'm just working at the hospital doing my thing. And so we built this studio, and I told him, I said, now I've got this studio. What are we going to do with it? So I started deciding to make a record. And I had all these songs, and nobody was working, so I started putting this thing together. I started calling all these people, Scott Vestal, Kurt Vestal, T. Michael Coleman, Clay Hess. I mean, I called everybody, all friends of mine that I've known for years, sure. and said, hey, man, I'm going to send these tunes to you. And nobody was doing anything. So, man, I put this crazy record together. Mm. It's nuts because nobody was working, and everybody was like, yeah, send it to me. And it was just – I actually was going to call the thing the COVID sessions, but I didn't. Because it's kind of, I didn't want to label it so much. And T. Michael Coleman said jokingly, yeah, you should call it Songs from Behind the Mask.
Oh, you know? Wow. Yeah.
You know, and I didn't, but it really, truly is fitting. It could have been called that.
Yeah.
And we did all of my stuff here and some of the mixing here, but it just grew into something even bigger. You know, I was able to procure Sam Bush and flew to Nashville and had Sam record on it, which was a lifelong dream because I've always thought a lot of Sam and his music and what he's meant to the music.
Sure.
And he was great. And, you know, just some of the songs that we picked out, you know, I kind of just let it be whatever it wanted to be. You know, it's some bluegrass, it's some Americana, it's some Irish. There's a little bit of everything on mm-hmm. this thing. So,
and this is the one titled The Road Not Taken. Is that the
Yep. yep, The Road Not Taken, okay. Sure is, yeah.
And how long has this been out? Are you just now releasing this?
It just came out last week.
Okay, so it's real fresh. Wow.
It's real new, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
It's on Turnberry Records.
Yep.
And you know, the funny part about it, I wasn't searching for a label, and I was on the internet one day, and my friend Rebecca Spear, who lives in Nashville, had mm-hmm. just came on board working for Turnberry, and I jokingly said to her, hey, y'all looking for any artists? You know, just kind of joking around, you know, and I even put an LOL after that. She goes, well, you know, that's funny. We might be.
Hmm.
And next thing I know, I've got a record deal.
Yeah. Wow.
And my wife's like, you've been like back doing this like 2 weeks. And what happened? And I'm like, I don't know. It just kind of happened, you know. But it's still what's good about it is I'm still really in control of it. A lot of times when you get record deals and, you know, PR people and booking agents, you're not in control of the whole situation.
Right, 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 yeah.
And I'm still in control of how much I want to work,
yeah.
what I want to, yeah, they are good about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've kind of made it to where I'm still in control of the situation. I work what I want to work, when I want to work, who I want to work with, and things like that, which I think makes it more fun.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like a job. You know, it still feels like it's fun.
And
know?
I think you told me off air you got about 40 or 50 dates lined up for the spring.
Well, I have the ability to do 40 or 50 dates. We're currently working on that. We've probably got 25 or so lined up for next year, but we're still plugging away. And I want to work different things too, Greg. You know, it's I've worked every bluegrass festival that there ever has been.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure of it with Doyle. I've played every bluegrass festival. You know, I had the best time this past year working with Linda Lay. We played a lot of the folk fest. We were in Montana. We played the National Folk Fest. We played the Montana Folk Festival.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing like playing to 300,000 people that that have never heard you before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, you're broadening your audience and taking the music to people who may have never heard what we do.
Yeah.
And that really, for me, is where I'm at with my music these days.
That's,
you know,
cool.
I want to create, but I also want to create and give it to a new audience as much as I can.
Yeah.
Not forgetting the old audience now, mind you, wanting to you know, create and give something new to the music, because the music is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think it is, all you got to do is watch Billy Strings or any of those guys. The music's really changing.
Yeah.
And if you don't change with it,
Dole
told me this a long time ago. In order for our music to survive, it has to change or it will die on the vine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure when Mr. Monroe did bluegrass, I'm sure he never envisioned it being what Lonesome River Band plays or what those guys play, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But it has to grow and change, and that's influences make it change.
Right.
And that's kind of where I'm at with it, you know? And it's been so much fun.
Yeah, good. That's
been
cool.
So much fun.
Yeah. So if people want to catch up with you and listen to the new CD, find out where you're going to be playing, you know, after the first of the year, Springs Festivals, that kind of thing, what's the best way to get in touch?
Well, the best way to get in touch is you can go to my website, which is darrenbeachley.com. Very simple. I'm all over all the social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I'm all over all of those.
Yeah.
Also, any digital streaming platform for the music, you can go Spotify, Apple Music. It's all there. I'm all over all that stuff. So
awesome.
Easy to find.
And do you have a website?
I do. DarrenBeachley.com. Yes, sir.
All right. Good. Well, it's so good to catch up with you, Darren. I love your music, and I'm excited about this new project. You know, you couldn't have picked a better group of people to work with on all these songs. And so, man, wouldn't it be fun to get them all together on stage with you at one time?
Well, there's going to be a few shows where I'm going to be able to have some of those guys available. You know, I've kind of gotten a verbal commitment from Scott to do some shows, and Kurt and Clay Hess. And, you know, here's the thing. You can't go wrong when you got Scott Vestal and Clay Hess or Kurt Vestal on stage with you, because you just got to worry about what you do. They're going to bring the mail. You just got to worry about your part.
Yeah,
That's really, to me, what it's all about, playing with pros. And, you know, talking about that, Greg, you know, we talked about, you know, the area that we live in here in Maryland, where I live. It's difficult to find people who want to do it at that level.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's really difficult because, you know, so many people have never done it at that level.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who have don't want to go back to doing it full time. It's like they're scared to death that you're going to do that. So it's very difficult to find pickers sometimes to do that in the area. So a lot of times I have to reach outside the area and get guys, which it is what it is.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to say, man, you guys, the stuff you do for the music, your program and the magazine is amazing.
I read it
all the time.
Thank you.
And it's invaluable to what we do.
Yeah. Well,
and
I appreciate that. We have fun with
it. Yeah,
absolutely. And, we get to meet people like you, man. And so it's, you know, that makes it fun too. You know, it's a great way for me to find a back door into hanging out with all the cool people. So I enjoy it. So yeah.
In the area, just let me know you want to come out, man. And you could just come out and hang out.
Hey,
we love that.
That'd be awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you.
Just let us know and you come hang out and we'll catch up and,
that's cool.
And tell each other some lies and some truths and figure out which one's which, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it and wish you the best with it. And hopefully we'll cross paths here real soon.
All right, Greg. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Long Shots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Long Shots Off Track Betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.